It's a mental note, second Sunday in February, Feast of the Super Bowl, starting next week. And if you worry about liturgical colors, whatever your team happens to be. Do any of you take prayer for granted? I think that any time we feel in need or in trouble or we have a particularly good thing happen to us, it just sort of comes natural to turn to God in prayer. It's something that does, or at least should, come easily to us. But sometimes prayer is so natural that we just take it for granted, and we don't give a second thought to the fact that what we pray for just may, in fact, come true after all. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, which we just read from, prayer is something that Luke never takes for granted, maybe more so than the other gospel writers. When Jesus prays in Luke's gospel, it's always a sign that something big is about to happen. And the first time we see that is in Luke chapter 3, when John baptizes Jesus. And it's during Jesus' prayer that the heavens open and the Spirit descends, and the voice of God speaks out of heaven to proclaim that Jesus is God's beloved Son, and that God is pleased with him. That's at Jesus' baptism. And then we have a deja vu experience. Doesn't that happen again here on top of the mountain during the Transfiguration? The story of the Transfiguration, that amazing day when Jesus meets Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop, the story of the Transfiguration of Jesus starts with Jesus praying. Just like when Jesus was baptized by John. So it's no surprise that we encounter a praying Jesus there on the mountaintop, and we should expect that something big and exciting is going to happen right afterwards, and we are not disappointed. After Jesus is done praying, his whole appearance is changed, transfigured, if you will, and his clothing begins to glow. And then Moses and Elijah show up, and the three of them stand there on top of this mountain having this big, long conversation. Finally, Peter, John, and James kind of wake up from whatever crazed state that they're in after having witnessed this whole scene. And just like at Jesus' baptism, when it's over, a voice from heaven speaks to affirm, again, that God, Jesus is God's beloved Son. But what's so remarkable about the whole transfiguration or change in appearance of Jesus is that as quickly as it begins, and it just comes on like that, it's over. It's almost like it was a dream to the disciples witnessing the event. One minute Jesus is praying, the next minute they're asleep or in some kind of a daze. The next thing they know, they wake up and see Jesus in dazzling white talking to Moses and Elijah. And a thundering voice from heaven speaks and scares the bejesus out of them. And then it's quiet. And there's no one there but Jesus. And I can only imagine if the disciples are wondering if it was really some kind of a dream or a nightmare all along. Just like at his baptism, when Jesus prays, amazing things happen. Do amazing things happen when you pray? When you pray, does your prayer have the power to transfigure you? Does your prayer have the power to radically change who you are and what you look like, both on the inside and the outside? You know, mountaintops have always been the kind of place where people have gone to pray, to be alone with God, to receive divine inspiration. Moses would travel up to the top of Mount Horeb to visit with God, and to receive his instructions on how to lead God's people. And he would get that directly from the mouth of God there on the mountaintop. And it was on the top of Mount Horeb while talking to God that Moses was also transfigured and had the look of his face changed permanently. It was on a mountaintop that Jesus prayed for guidance from God for the direction his life would be taking. And he was transfigured, transformed by God there on the top of the mountain. So why don't our prayers have the same effect on us? Why doesn't our prayer life transform us and change us forever? I think that for most of us, we get stuck in one of two places when we pray. sometimes we never quite make it to the top of that mountain, right? Commitments or fear or whatever just keeps dragging on us and pulling us down before we can ever get to the top of the mountain. What the mountaintop represents, I think, is the place where we can come before God in total openness and total honesty. No pretenses, no excuses, no lies. It means being open and vulnerable to whatever hopes and dreams and plans that God may have for our lives. Open and vulnerable. Anyone love to be open and vulnerable? Anyone say, oh, please, Lord, today just, you know, make me open and vulnerable to everyone I meet. And being that open and vulnerable before God takes a certain degree of trust. And that scares us to death. Now, to be perfectly honest here, neither you nor I will ever be Jesus, and we will never be Moses, and we will never be able to achieve the degree of intimacy that they shared with God. How's that for demotivation in a sermon, right? But it's true. But God doesn't ask us to be Jesus, and he doesn't ask us to be Moses. He simply asks us to be ourselves, our real selves, to be ourselves before God, warts and all, the good and the bad, to be open and willing to listen for God speaking to us, to open ourselves up to God and let the Spirit bring us into God's presence, to come to God in silence and be willing to let God talk instead of us. You know, it may not happen very often in our lives, but every once in a while, things just work out right and we can open ourselves up to God. We can climb that mountain and really talk to God, not just by pouring out our needs and wants, but by letting our hearts talk to God in a language that doesn't need words. Every once in a while it happens, and it is life-changing and transforming for us. We come into the presence of God in a real way, and it just completely overwhelms us and knocks us off our feet. We reach that mountaintop, and we encounter God in all of God's glory and majesty, and it takes our breath away. Have you had that experience in your life? The bigger problem, I think, is that if we do make it to the mountaintop and have that life-changing experience with God, we have a tendency to want to stay right there, don't we? To never want to leave. When the disciples woke up and saw what was happening there on the top of the mountain, the first thing they did after they got over their fear and whatever else was going on in their heads was to ask Jesus if he wanted them to build three tents for him and Elijah and Moses. Now, up front, that's kind of a strange request, but in hindsight, it's exactly the kind of question that we would ask. It's just one of those basic facts of human nature that when we have a miraculous experience, we want to preserve it forever, right? How many places of pilgrimage, not just Christian, are there in the world to mark and remember a miraculous occurrence? For the disciples, it meant building tents for Elijah and Moses. For the rest of us, it usually means erecting some kind of a monument to commemorate the event in our lives. And we're good at that. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little memorial building, but sometimes we can get a little too stuck up there on top of the mountain. Because once we scale the top, and this is the other thing about mountains, once we get to the top, the view is spectacular. We can see what's gone before us and even what lies ahead of us. And it's there on top of the mountain that Jesus speaks with Elijah and Moses about the coming suffering and death that he would have to endure. And it's there on the mountaintop that Moses discovered the future that God had laid out for God's people in the Promised Land. Moses was allowed to climb the top of the mountain and look into the Promised Land and see what God had in store, what wonderful things God had in store for God's people. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about the mountaintop in his I Have a Dream, and he likens himself to that Moses who gets the opportunity to climb the top of that mountain and look into the future. Mountaintop experiences give us a different perspective on our lives and can show us a whole new path or possibility for our life that we could never envision before. Opening ourselves to God in prayer can do that. Martin Luther King said on April 3rd, 1968, he said, after the mountaintop reference, he says, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anyone, I'd love to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory," what? "Of the coming of the Lord." Martin made it to the top of that mountain. He had that experience of coming into God's presence and being allowed to catch a glimpse of what God had in store for the future of this nation. And it was an amazing and life-changing experience for him. But he didn't let himself be seduced by that glorious view there on top of the mountain. Just like Moses and Jesus did not allow themselves to be seduced by staying there on the top of the mountain. On the eastern edge of Albuquerque, where we used to live, there's a tram that will take you 5,000 feet straight up to the top of the Sandia Mountains, which rise 11,000 feet above sea level. And no matter what kind of weather there is up there on the top, the view is always spectacular, and I mean spectacular. You can see a summer thunderstorm way off in the western horizon as it begins to move towards you. You can see the entire thing, start, finish, front, and back, as it comes across. The view is so seductive and awe-inspiring that if you're not careful, it's so easy to just want to stay up there forever and enjoy the sight. And it was the same way with the disciples and with us. When our prayers click just right and everything is perfect and we find ourselves there in the presence of God and stand in awe, it's almost impossible to drag ourselves away and back to earth. But just like Jesus and Moses and even Martin Luther, they knew that their place was down in the valley, living out their calling. They knew that the mountaintop was a good place to discover plans that God has for us, but that we're called to return to the valley and live out that calling among God's people, even if that calling is a scary one. On the mountaintop, Jesus reaffirmed his commitment to walk that long road to the cross, because that's what happens when Jesus comes off the mountain there at the Transfiguration. He sets his face towards Jerusalem, and the rest is history. It's there on the mountaintop that Moses reaffirmed his commitment to lead God's people through thick and thin to the promised land. It was on the mountaintop that Martin Luther King reaffirmed his commitment to walk the path of civil disobedience, no matter what the cost would be to himself. But it was back there in the valley, among the people God had given them to love and serve, that they were called to live their lives, not up on the mountain. So when was the last time you traveled to the mountaintop? When was the last time you came into the presence of the living God and saw your future laid out before you? I know that sounds a little too good to be true, but if we approach God in prayer and reverence, then that same transfiguring, that same life-transforming experience can be ours as well. But don't stay there too long. As enticing or frightening that the experience might be, God calls us to get back up and take that long trail back down to the valley and go and live out our calling among God's people that God has laid out before us. Do you have the strength and the courage to take that journey? If you do, then I'll guarantee you, you will have the trip of a lifetime. Amen. Would you please stand as we affirm our faith?